Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the, following the executive session. This is Claire Petridge, Port of Tacoma Commissioner, reconvening the special meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on February 7th, 2019. The time is approximately 2:42. We previously called our meeting to order at 2 p.m. and recessed into executive session where we discussed one litigation, potential litigation item pursuant to RCW 42.30.1101I. No votes or actions were taken. Will you join me now in the Pledge of Allegiance before we begin our work session? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Welcome to the meeting. So, I don't believe that anyone has signed up for public comment. We're going to take public comment at the beginning and at the end if we have people here who are willing and desirous of making any public comment. So at this time, there is no one to come forward. And I'd like to move then into the action agenda and invite Deirdre Wilson and Yvette Mason to come up and to share with us the information that they have and the work that they have been doing over the past many months in regards to the sub-area planning work plan. And I just want to say thank you to both of you, as well as to Carolyn Legge and the work that you have been doing, because I know it has been incredibly involved and technical, and thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. We have, as Commissioner Petras has introduced, we're here to talk to you to give you just an update briefing on the work plan associated with the Tacoma Tide Flats sub-area planning process. Commissioners McCarthy and Commissioner Meyer will be attending a steering committee meeting tomorrow that begins at 11 a.m. And the purpose of that meeting is to review a draft work plan that is hopefully going to lead us into finalization of a work plan that can initiate the planning process. So we've, as you mentioned, have been working on this for a very long time, and the commission, if you remember, a couple of years ago obligated $500,000 potentially to this process, and there was an intergovernmental agreement on November 14th that the court participated in that set up a process that the work plan, that payment of those funds was contingent upon approval of a work plan. And so that's the significance of the work plan. In 2009, the container port element was adopted by the state, which basically requires that for Seattle and Tacoma, because of the size of the ports, that there be a container port element adopted by the local jurisdiction to recognize the container ports. And in July of 2014, the city of Tacoma did that. So just about 5 years ago, they adopted that comprehensive plan amendment, which protects the container port. And then in May of 2017, and then later in December, you'll remember that you all approved a couple of resolutions to agree to participate in this planning process. Originally, we had agreed to do that with the city of Tacoma and with Pierce County, and then later amended that resolution to include the tribe. And then in September of 2018 is when the intergovernmental agreement, which is what our topic is today, brought up this new thing, which is the work plan. In order to make progress, we found that taking this in bite-sized chunks, rather than doing an inter-local agreement as was envisioned in the original resolution, it changed to this intergovernmental agreement, which then set the stage for the work plan. In the work plan, there is a section that expressly calls out the container port element, where the sub-area plan at a minimum will address requirements under Washington state law to include SEPA, which is the State Environmental Policy Act, Growth Management Act, the Shoreline Management Act, the Puyallup Land Claim Settlement, the container port element and elements for certification of the Manufacturing Industrial Center by the Puget Sound Regional Council. And those were things that we wanted to make sure were specifically addressed in there for the protection of the port. The next steps following the steering committee approval, which We originally had 60 days for approval, which was the middle of January. About this, the middle of the second week of January, there was a steering committee meeting where the group agreed to extend that for 30 days. So now that deadline is the middle of February. So tomorrow, we are hopeful that we will get the governments to agree on the work plan so that we will meet that February 15th deadline to get that work plan approved. That's a self-imposed deadline, but it's something that it, has been expressed to be very important to the city mayor, that we keep moving forward on this. Once the work plan is approved, the city staff has a project lead, and then there will be project managers from all of the different other governments participating. We'll initiate that process with the entire staff leadership group, which is a bit larger group, to select the consultant. That's expected to take approximately 6 months. And then once the consultant is selected, the work plan envisions that process taking about 2 years to prepare a draft subarea plan, which will be presented to the Planning Commission. Once the Planning Commission starts that process, I think you're all familiar that that takes another several months, potentially to a year, to go through that public involvement and outreach process and then ultimately culminate in the hearings necessary by the City Council to adopt that as part of their comprehensive plan. As a part of the subarea planning process, there is, it's envisioned that there'll be a significant public participation and outreach plan that will go through the process of review and approval by the steering committee and have involvement of all the governments to make sure that that outreach is robust and includes all of the different groups necessary. And also there's a stakeholder advisory group that is included in the process that the work plan that we'll be looking at tomorrow actually provides a list of different stakeholders, and that's specified with buckets or categories for the most part of almost all of those different individuals that would be selected. Some of them are self-selecting, and then some of them are assigned to each of the governments to choose those. And so that's been something that the commission has been very interested in as far as how we would get the interest of the stakeholders represented. We have had some conversation with the commissioners individually regarding the document that has been prepared. And one of the suggestions was to revise this section that you have on the last page of the presentation that talks about the approval process. There was quite a bit of discussion at the last steering committee meeting about what does it mean for there to be concurrence or approval of decision-making throughout the process by the steering committee. There was concurrence at that meeting that 3 out of 5 would be appropriate to be able to have just as a threshold, hoping that of course we would get unanimous agreement upon the different things that, you know, require approval throughout the process, but understanding we needed to have some sort of threshold to be able to put in here as far as process goes. And the way that the language came out did not make it completely clear that there, it basically says that there will be 30 days to have a meeting to make a decision. And the concern among the group was that, what if you can't get a meeting together within that amount of time? And so we tried to clarify that, that the intent is for there to be full participation, but as long as 3 of the 5 can meet, or we find some way to get the information from each of the governments, then we would have some kind of an approval or concurrence decision-making process that met this rule or criteria. So we have some minor clarifications here that we suggest. Other than this amendment, we feel comfortable moving forward that the important issues for the commission have been addressed in the draft work plan. And as has been mentioned, you know, other times, this has been a process of compromise, but we've tried to stay really true to those things that were really important for the fort to preserve the operations and what the mission of the port is. And that's about all I have to present, unless you had any specific questions about the memo or this document that you'd like answered.
Commissioner Petrich, if
yes,
I could.
Yes, please, Commissioner Meyer. I just would like to say particularly thanks to both you and Commissioner McCarthy for your participation in this. So we'd really like to hear from you.
I'd just like to provide a couple of comments on process as well as some substantive things here. Regarding the process, I will tell you, I think our staff team at the Port of Tacoma has done an excellent job representing the interests of the Port of Tacoma throughout this process. So I just want to make certain that's on record and for our fellow commissioners to know about that. And I'm very pleased that when I look at this draft document in front of you compared to where we first started, significant changes. And a lot of it also, I will tell you, some of the references here to the container port element, which is always most important to us, but also I think to our broader community, has numerous references. And I can assure you, Commissioner McCarthy has been the real leader relative to pushing and insisting on that. So I feel real comfortable. I think one of the things, though, that, you know, when we started this process, I really didn't know what subarea meant, but I can assure you, I'm still beginning to wonder what it means. But I think the most important goal we can have is that when you look at this advisory group that's being set up, is to always make certain that we keep it as a balanced group. And I like the categories that I see here on page 8, item 3. And I would hope that we never change that. That's important, I think, for achieving balance that we need to have. And when I think about the tide flats, we have so much diversity throughout our tide flats area that this is good, and I hope that we don't make changes to that. The other comment I would have is that I remain concerned about the 6 months interim regs. The 6 month interim regs, I think one of the things that we've got to talk about, whether it's tomorrow or some other meeting in a very soon future, we when we represent this program out here as a work plan, and then we have a 6 month interim regs, I think we need to focus on doing the right thing, which I see is in this document. And so I'm hoping that somewhere along the line, we can talk about the 6 month drill that we seem to be caught up in. I hope that we can commit to no changes in that process. So I'm just sharing that with you in terms of the conversations we need to have.
I just have a question about that. It's like, what's the process that would go through? Would it be through the conversations that are going on around the subarea plan, or would it be taken out of and presented to the City Council at a different time or in a different way?
Staff can correct me, but as I understand that 6 month drill that's happening, that's outside of it. That's not in this.
Right.
All I'm saying is I see this relationship and what's the message we're trying as an economic development entity wanting to encourage investment in our community and grow jobs. I don't, you know, I would like to say we can get away from the 6 month drill. I don't
think that's possible. It creates a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, it creates a lot of uncertainty. So I'm saying let's just hold on that. No changes, and let's focus our energies on this work plan. That's really what I'm conveying to you as a priority. Commissioner McCarthy and I should be advocates for.
Can I ask a quick question? How many times has the 6 month come up with the, is it so, just the one time?
Well, just to further answer your question, as far as when would we bring this up, we're gonna bring it up every time. Potentially, the commissioners will have the opportunity to do that tomorrow, and then we will bring it up again every time there's a renewal, but you know, when it comes up at the city. So we go and provide public testimony and submit something in writing. And as far as how many times, the first time that it was approved, it was for a 1 year period. The city code and the state law allow them to do it for 12 months. Subsequent approvals have to occur every 6 months. So we've had the 12 month and we've had a 6 month, and we're about getting ready here probably in March. They will start having public hearings for the next 6 months.
Right, but correct me if I'm wrong. And there was no changes from the original year to the 6 months.
That's correct.
Well, then I would see no reason why there should be any changes whatsoever. We're gonna be delving into a subarea plan. So good. I would be an advocate. I know you guys will be advocating what you're talking about, Don.
Certainly encourage the city not to take all the resources it takes to delve into the continuation. So, and I think the last time it, or the very first time it came up for its review a few months back, the city council and the mayor have a lot of discretion, if you will, in terms of how the process works, in terms of presenting it, so we can hopefully encourage them to rely on this process that we're all spending a lot of time.
Okay, thank you very much. Commissioner Johnson?
I just want to echo Commissioner Meyer's comments. I appreciate Commissioner Meyer and efforts on this situation. It's something I wouldn't do if I had my druthers. I think the stakeholder advisory group would agree with that. It should stay like it is. I don't like last minute changes. And I don't want to talk as a commissioner. I just want to talk as a citizen of the region, having worked my entire life down here in the Tide Flats. Government, to be perfectly frank. Most of the businesses in the Tide Flats had to earn money. They didn't tax it, they had to earn it. And there's a huge difference between having to earn money to pay bills versus being able to just get taxes up and pay your bills. So that's a huge difference. And I think it's important for the entire Tide Flats community and the businesses surrounding the port as well as the port to really totally understand the economic value that's what's down here. Because people will talk about family wage jobs, and yet most of them can't define what that means. And generally, they say Pierce County, you have to have $56,000 a year to survive in Pierce County as a normal person. Which means if you make 40, you're still surviving, but you're not a normal person. Because you have to have high and lows for the average.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you've got to buy a house or pay rent or whatever that is. And if you want to have middle-class jobs, you have to have middle-class jobs. And the best-paying jobs have always been manufacturing or heavy industry, longshoring, those kind of jobs. They sure don't belong in Starbucks and those kind of things. You don't see them in real tech and in retail stores at all, or even hotels. The owner might make a lot of money, but you don't see the staff making what you can make at West Rock, or what you can make as a longshore, or what you can make at some of the other companies around here, whether it's a global machine company or BCT or whatever it might be down here in the Tide Flats. So, the process is going to be the process because it's going to be what it's going to be. But at the end of the day, sometimes you wake up 10 years later and you wonder what happened to yourself. And it's because of the decision you made 10 years earlier without understanding what's truly at risk. And if we want to take care of the people, if we want to take care of, I call them non-credentialed personnel. If you're a STEM graduate, you're going to be fine. If you're a machinist or something like that, your biggest problem is the machines trying to figure out when you get a chance to go home. But if you're not a qualified, trained person, we need to have jobs for those people. And that's a large share of our county. We need to have jobs for those people. And the Tide Flat pays for those jobs. And I'm not sure that all our politicians and government officials understand. They might give that speech, but they haven't got a clue what that really means. And what kind of a message we're sending. Don mentioned it. What kind of a message are we sending to other people? Are you going to come to Tacoma? Are you going to come to the Tide Flats area? Are you going to come to Fife? Or are you going to go somewhere else where it's a lot friendlier situation? And I've been in that industry for a long, long time. And Washington is not the cheapest place to do business in. But I'm just concerned that all our participants in this process understand the value of business and its contribution to the community as a whole.
Yeah, well, I certainly think that this conversation is putting the spotlight on the activities that are down here on the Tide Flats in ways that hasn't happened before. Commissioner McCarthy?
Just to make a point about the stakeholder group, the proposal that's on the table is as a result of, a lot of compromise, and I think we really need to emphasize the need to have people who are affected by this decision. And thus, for example, non-port property owners in the Tide Flat, non-port major businesses, tenants in the Tide Flat. So the way this is structured now is a result of a lot of compromise. And so if that's going to change at all, then of course we're going to bring it back to you before there's any final decision made.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. I do agree. In looking at that list, it seemed real apparent that there was no, for example, small business or independent business represented from the Tide Flats. in that group. Is there anything that you all, as you go into the meeting tomorrow, anything specific you'd like to point out for attention or conversation by us at this particular time?
Do you have anything? Because I think the biggest issue is going to revolve around the advisory group. I think that's the biggest issue. I did talk recently with Jim Waldo, talking about the agenda and whatnot. And I think that, to me, based upon either input from staff or what I got as feedback from Jim, I think it'll revolve around that topic.
Around
the topic of the advisory group and the makeup of the advisory group. Who appoints and is there adequate representation there? And like I said, one of the things that I think we always got to be an advocate for is balance on any advisory group. Balance.
I actually have a question. Since you're looking at a somewhere between a 2 and 4 year period for this to take place, you know, people's lives change. People come and go. What's the process for replacing people on this? You haven't had any conversation about that. It would still go to the.
They're stuck for the 4 years. Yeah. Go any place.
This is a 4 year sentence, yes, Claire. Right. We got a judge to confirm it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the land claim settlement took 4.5 years. And we had,
that seems very short in comparison at this point.
This could be the same length of time. But there were some regulars that hung out, and some we wouldn't let leave the room. Others we were happy to see them go.
But, James?
But I would say, to answer your question, that the basic assumption is there's two ways that you get appointed. One is self-selection by the various entities. So if someone says, I can't represent you anymore, they'll have to appoint someone else. In the case of the appointments by the various entities, you go in, because the way it's set up is where essentially this appointment process is, it's up to the individual entity to do that. And if somebody's not participating, it'll be up to that entity to find a replacement.
It'll be the responsibility of the project managers to make sure that we can have continuous representation on the stakeholder group. And the stakeholder group will be a part of the public engagement plan because it is one of the outreach opportunities. And so that could be specified in that plan, and that'll be something that gets written as soon as the consultant gets on board. That'll be the first milestone project to happen. So we'll get an opportunity to potentially influence how that happens.
I think you mentioned it, but just to emphasize it, at the end of the process, a significant part of this is that if there's any changes by the Planning Commission or the City Council, they go back to the steering committee as opposed to past practices of interim regulations. And that's significant because we're not going into the process acknowledging that collaboration has taken place. That's something that we're going to have to look at the whole process to see indeed if completely collaborated. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's key, and it certainly is key for us in the port. And I definitely appreciate the fact that you have been sure that all of us are advised about what's happening in the sub-area plan as you're representing us on the planning group. The fact that you're bringing it back for conversation, and then we will bring it back again when you are, after your meeting tomorrow, to let us know what the status is, and then it'll come forward for approval.
In fact, we've made this statement that the $500,000 really doesn't go forward until we approve this work plan.
Yeah.
Whether contractually, that's an accurate statement, but that's at least the representation we made, because I think it's important you all five of us, are very much on board in terms of what's happening and the policy questions and spending $500,000.
And if I might add to one of the things that came up yesterday in a call with the project management group, well, as we try to prepare for tomorrow's presentation of the work plan, it will be a joint presentation of the five different governments. There was a comment by one of the project managers that what has been kind of a learning opportunity for all of us is to see how different the governments go through this process of working with the electeds and staff and trying to, you know, work on these compromises. And I just want to thank you for your willingness to participate and engage and your availability and willingness to accommodate our schedules, try to get with you to update you. I think we've laid a really good foundation for how we move forward with this over the next, you know, 2 to 4 years or whatever it takes. Well, I just say that because I feel like you have allowed us to do a better job when we meet with the other staff, where I think some of the other groups struggle to communicate and, you know, feel comfortable that they're sharing, you know, that what you all want us, you know, how you want us to be moving forward. So I really appreciate that. So thank you. That has
been
really
nice. You don't have surprises.
Right.
At other times, which is great. And somehow as you're speaking, this is reminding me of the fact I have to go back to our centennial, our 100 years. You know, when you look at those photographs that we've been aware of over the past year because we have celebrated this 100 years, and you look at what the tide flats looked like 100 years ago and the investment that's taken part by the port, but also by the many, many businesses that are located there. You see the changes and you see the commitment that people have had to create the jobs, to make this community a strong community, to make our port a number one port that's inspired by excellence and an excellence in its growth. So we can only say that the reason that we're committed to this, the reason we're working on this for 2 years or 3 years or maybe even longer, is our commitment to that excellence in the future. So thank you very, very much. Is there any further comment from our staff, from our commissioners, Yvette?
Just a more of a process statement. And thank you for your feedback today. Commissioners McCarthy and Meyer will take that back tomorrow. If there is some kind of agreement on the work plan by the five governments in tomorrow's meeting, there is some time held for another special commission meeting for you to approve the document, and that would be on Monday. There are some weather issues that we could be dealing with also.
Not more than a foot of snow.
Is it possible for us to communicate via Skype if necessary, if the weather creates a major issue?
Yes.
And maybe you could let us know.
You can. You'll have somebody here with opening up the Skype. We'll still have a public comment and you can call in.
Okay, so that would be possible. Thanks, if you could let us know what that is.
Won't make for good TV viewing.
Yeah, right.
Just wanted you to be aware that there is a tentative hold on that.
Okay. And there's no further public comment. I haven't seen anyone else come in from the public, but we're ready to. I will call for adjournment then, unless there's further comment.
Very good.
All right. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
For the briefing.